In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to eat. I have finally made it to the point in my life that I won't eat just anything. I prefer to eat things that I find tasty and that I enjoy. But I have a problem. I don't always feel like making myself something that tastes that good. Do you have the same dilemma? You find yourself hungry, you really like to eat something, but nothing that's easy seems all that desirable at the moment. I can't imagine what it must have been like to walk out the tent doors out into the wilderness every morning and find food aplenty just lying there. It's a remarkable situation. Among the features of that manna, the what is it that the Israelites discovered that morning in our Old Testament text, was the reality that it could also be ground up and made into other menu items. So variety was an option for them, even though it was the same day after day. You hungry? Just walk outside and help yourself. Feel like having something a little more interesting? That's fine. Grind it up, make it into something else too. But also remember that you had to use it that day. The material or anything made from it would not last, would always spoil if you tried to make it last more than one day, with the exception of Friday morning. As the day before the Sabbath dawned, that was special manna. That would last for 2 days, but it would always spoil after that second day. It's no wonder that 1,400 years later, the descendants of these ancient Israelites were still marveling over this miracle that lasted almost 40 years of their people's history. It appears here that they were giving Moses the credit for bringing this food to the people. And they wanted to compare Jesus to Moses. That's because they had just experienced Jesus feeding more than 5,000 people from a little boy's lunchbox. And so in essence, they're saying to Jesus, okay, so Moses gave our people bread from heaven. Let's see what you can do, Jesus. You do something bigger and better and more impressive, and we will listen to you. We will believe everything you have to say to us. That led to a very interesting conversational exchange between Jesus and these people. Let's read it again. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So if you told me that you were really hungry, and I handed you a Bible, I would expect that you would react with some unhappiness, irritation at my not being very helpful in that moment. Jesus is not saying here that the Word of God is edible, that He is edible, or that believing in Him will leave us in a situation that we will never be hungry again. Jesus was just as human as you and me. And He understood physical hunger very well. He went 40 days in the wilderness without eating. But He also knew the other appetites of our lives, the other hungers that experience. He knew that our minds, our hearts, our souls could just grow as painfully and irritatingly hungry as our stomachs ever could. The demand for a miracle from Jesus revealed that the people also understood this hunger and were desiring a way to fill this hunger in their experience. And maybe Jesus was the one. But in essence, they're saying, we're not sure if we want to believe in you. So Jesus used the topic that they had raised to proclaim to them just how easy satisfying spiritual hunger really is. In essence, Jesus said to them, just eat. Just eat God's word, what God has provided you. It's that simple. He's saying it's just as simple as it was for the Israelites out there in the wilderness. You are hungry? Just eat. Just pick it up and devour it. Just eat what the Lord has provided. Jesus wants us to understand clearly that staving off spiritual and intellectual hunger, the hunger of our hearts, is just as easy and simple as it was for the ancient Israelites to stave off hunger in the wilderness. Eat the Word. That is as simple as reading it, listening to it, meditating on it, following its directives. The Holy Spirit will use that simple eating of the Word to create faith in those who are partaking of it. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Eating is believing. Jesus, in essence, is saying, just start eating the Word. Just start satisfying that hunger of your soul, and you will find that it's self-perpetuating. That truth, those answers, that healing, that forgiveness, that freedom from guilt, that certainty of eternal life will continue to grow in you until you believe. The rest will take care of itself through the Holy Spirit. And that's just too simple, isn't it? God makes everything so simple. He always does. He makes things exceptionally simple. Walk out your tent any given morning, eat the bread that fell from heaven. Wait for the evening to come, and don't expect the rain, but rather a feast of quail. God couldn't have made it any easier for them, and He couldn't make filling the hunger at the center of our lives any easier than He does here. Maybe it's too simple. Human beings don't like to leave things that simple. We always love to complicate things. And so when we're told, bring a baby to that font, sprinkle water over its head in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and their native inborn natural sin will be washed away, that child will be adopted into God's eternal family and sealed for eternal life, the human mind says that's just too simple. It just can't be. Step up to this front step and receive in your hand a little wafer of bread, a little sip of wine into the mouth as the words of Jesus' consecration are spoken, and it is the body and blood of Jesus truly present, through which Jesus says He's giving us forgiveness and new life, connecting us to His suffering and death and resurrection and all of the blessings that extend from that saving activity. And again, our human minds say that's just too simple. It's just too easy, that makes forgiveness too easy to get. But isn't that exactly what Jesus was saying in these verses? He set the contrast for those demanding a sign. When Jesus told them that working for something that God was willing to give to them as a gift, working for something that would fade away and would spoil long before this life ends, instead of receiving a gift that God intended to give them that would last for eternal life, it just didn't compute in their minds. They respond to him with a most basic request. Tell us what to do, Jesus, to get ourselves right with God, to make God happy with us by our meeting his requirements of us. The response was exceptionally natural. It is the natural response of every human heart and mind to God's free gift of grace. Every philosophy and religion of the world, apart from biblical confessional Christianity, proves that in what it teaches. Each has one method or another for humans to purge themselves of evil and earn a way into God's good graces. So Jesus' challengers were only speaking what naturally came to their minds, but it was more than just natural reaction. It was also something they had been taught. It was the working, prominent theory of the religious teachers of their day to convince people that they had to obey the commandments, that they had to be committed to obeying God and earning from God his love and all of his blessings for this life and eternal life as well by keeping his commandments, every last one. Does that ring familiar to you? How very easily tempting it is for you and I, as the world around us pounds on what we believe Jesus has given us as a gift, that we really don't know what we're talking about, because you never get anything free in this world. You've got to earn it. You've got to accomplish it. And it's no different with God. Those who believe in Christ alone are the only people who don't believe in some variation of this theme. Everyone else is enslaved by their works. Everyone else is enslaved to the commandments and making things right with God, or just the opposite. Realize that the devil more often uses the opposite side of that same coin to lead us to believe a little bit of a twist on what Jesus clearly says here. That you and I are never going to meet God's demands. That you and I are broken. We know it. And so why do we believe for a second that we're ever going to be right with God, that God's never going to be happy with us, and so it doesn't matter what we do? Don't even try to make God happy. Just make yourself happy. Satisfy your own appetites and your own desires with whatever you do in life, and forget about God, because it's never going to work. It's just a waste of time. And that twist seals the deal, doesn't it? By that I mean that the twist with such a temptation of what Jesus is clearly saying here. Jesus is clearly telling us that believing is all that God wants from us. Eating the bread of life that came down from heaven will lead us to believe in the bread of life that came down from heaven. The Father has sent him to be and to do everything that we could never be or do to satisfy God's demands of us in our place as our substitute. He's accomplished it all, and that is how he can make all the other promises that he does to us in these verses. But the devil tries to trip us up in believing that there's just absolutely nothing we can ever do. Believing is all that God wants from us. Believing is the only thing you and I need to do. Eating is believing. And again, it's just too simple, isn't it? Just too easy. It just sounds too good to be true. Jesus concluded this conversation by stating that everyone who comes to him and embraces him as the bread of life and continues to eat of him as their solution to the hungers of body, mind, and soul will never hunger or thirst again, ever. Jesus often used hyperbole, often used the broad illustration and comparison to drive his point home, as he's doing here. He's pointing again to the way he had spoken of hunger earlier. The hunger at the center of our lives that will only ever be answered by God's presence. The hunger for answers, for eternal assurance. He tells you, when you have Jesus and you feed on him daily, all of the rest of these appetites are met. Does that not echo to you as a believer the ending portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? After talking about how we chase after all the things of life, clothing, food, shelter, all of our heart's desires, that all of that is simply a chasing after nothing that the heathens also do, but God knows what we need, and so he tells us, make our priority being right with God, living in his eternal kingdom with him, and all the rest of these things will be given to you as well. Eat him, the bread of life, in his word, on a daily basis. And all of these other appetites are met. What Jesus is teaching us here is contentment. Contentment with whatever he is willing to deliver to us on a daily basis in every element of our lives. Believing is not only the only thing God wants from you. Believing also changes you completely in every way. Everything about you. And belief in Jesus ultimately will lead you to find satisfaction for every other appetite of your life. Sound too easy? It's what Jesus says here. So try him out. Open his word and listen carefully to him. Come to his table. Receive his body and blood for your forgiveness, for your strengthening, for your assurance of God's desire to be present in your life and to continue to grow this contentment in every pursuit of your life. See for yourself whether everything he promises you here comes true. See if you find in Jesus a new contentment that solves your hungers on a daily basis. See if eating of the bread from heaven, the bread of life, truly gives you life, eternal life. Amen. Please stand. We'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.